We have fallen, and we can't get up. And we've pressed the little button for help, and help came. And it came in the middle of challenges, in the middle of reaping what we've sown. Help shows up, and there's that little sweet little verse that says, "He will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel." And in the middle, and then God takes and covers our sin with the skin from an innocent bystander. We could not cover our own shame. We could not cover our own wrong. But God slew something to cover what is wrong with us. And in those two things, there is hope. The hope that goes through to Revelation 21 to see that glorious victory at the end. God knows what he's doing. But he's giving us details here. And he says, "The Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good from evil. And now he might stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." And that can't be said, because God had already said, the day you eat, you will die. Death will come to you. And God's word does not come back void, so man cannot eat from the tree. It's a strange thing to wonder, is it the tree what kept them alive, or is it the tree what gives him life after he sinned? Was the tree something he was always eating of? Before there was some sort of thing on the other tree? Because there was no, it said there were two trees, and it never said you can't eat from the tree of life. It says from that tree you can't eat the tree of knowledge, good and evil. So it's just an interesting thought. Even if you see this as a parable, it's still an interesting thought. What is God telling us here through this? And it's also interesting that he says, like us, God in the plural, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the big three, they're all there. Jesus Christ is part of all of this. And it says they might live forever. And this tree is really important. You know, we always think about this tree and we go, oh, okay, and we move on. We never think about the tree again. Well, the tree keeps coming back. That this tree of the tree of life is all through Revelations. It's the same tree. And access is restored. And that's why I said on Easter, in the silence of Christ, you could hear this flaming sword being put back into its sheath by the mighty angel who has guarded it from us, because the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, access to this tree is restored. And I tell you once again, it's not just spiritual. It's back here physical. We'll get into that. But what he's saying is, so God's saying, well, I can't have this because my word has said you're going to die. And my word does not come back void. This cannot happen. And Satan's words come true. Remember Satan said, you'll be like God? Well, yep. That's not the part they wanted. Right. And as God said, well, we can't have this. And the only part they were like God was knowing good from evil. That's all we got out of it. You know, and boy, did we pay a price to get that little nugget, did we not? But it's the nugget we were here to dig up. And truth of the matter, not quite what we looked for, and like God in only one way. Before we can achieve the rest, that part of being like Christ... Okay, God is saying they will be like us. The goal of the New Testament, what Scripture tells us, is to be what? To be like Christ. Because we couldn't achieve it until Christ came. Because all the promises come through him. We just cannot be like God without Jesus Christ. So what God is saying is, they attempted to do this without me. Is the best way for me to put the contrast between what he's saying here, they will be like us, and him saying, I want you to be like me. There's only one way to do it. You cannot with your own will go make it happen. There is only one way to do this. Connect this verse onto be conformed to the image of Christ in Romans 8. Put them together, because Romans 8 is really big. You know, it runs from here into Romans 8. From Romans 8, it runs right back out into Revelations 21. I mean, it's like this. And do not let the Romans 8 escape you when you're reading this stuff, because it's big stuff. Now, Revelations 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear, because the tree's not gone forever. Like I said, that sword is put away. Let him hear what the Spirit says of the church. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. It's the same tree. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. Revelations 22:12-14, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash, this is beautiful, wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter the gates into the city. The right to eat to the tree of life. Now, what does this... Now, the washing of the robes is what gives you the right, okay? So, wow, that's important. A right? You know, a right that comes from grace? You know, because it starts to think, well, this is something we earn. No, because the washing of their robes, Revelation 7:4. I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white with the blood of the Lamb. Wow. Put them together. They have the right to the tree of life because the robes have been washed with the blood of the Lamb. That is what gives you the right to the tree. Not a sin, not eating a piece of fruit, nothing you can do. It is it. And this beautiful little picture of it saying, washed white with the blood of the Lamb. Blood is, what color is blood?
Red.
Washed white. That's how pure this blood is. That's what it does. It makes it pure. Whatever it touches, it makes it white. And it's washed white. I just smile about this all the time. 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. You're not in Kansas anymore. Out of paradise and off to work. And how many times have we pray every week for work? You know, it's a challenge. I'm not fulfilled. I'm not well. Here we go. It's not you. It's not your employer. It's the condition of life. And like I said, once again, I remind you, everything that is said here, Christians have an obligation to overcome and to find the victory in every one of these things. That is the witness to the world. All of us live in this. There is not one of us who is exempt from these things that are the result of sin. I've said it many times. Everybody that has ever died on this planet has died from the exact same cause, sin. That is it. The details may vary, but in principle, it is always what is... Sin is fatal. What did not happen here is very big. It's bigger than what did happen here. And stop and think about it. We're still alive. I mean, he lets us live because he has a plan. And, you know, and you start to grasp when he's saying, from that day you will die. Well, we thought, oh, well, that means we're going to drop over dead. No, death comes into you. You're separated from, you die spiritually more than anything. I mean, you've lost the connection with me. That's gone. And he didn't kill us as soon as we sinned by his grace. We were not made non-existent. He didn't start over somewhere else. When we were not banished to hell immediately. All of these things are exactly what we deserved. We lose sight of that. We left his presence, but he did not leave ours. He didn't abandon us. He didn't just say, well, good luck to you. You know, and off you go. And no, he... Yeah. Oh, he's been orchestrating this whole thing all the way through. The fact that we still exist after this moment tells us that there is a higher and greater purpose to our being here. He's getting something. He's doing something. He wants something. He's dealing with the sin, but his purpose is not thwarted by us, which is a very good thing. We were sent on the journey that would bring us back to him as sons and heirs, able to live in paradise without it ever being lost again. This time he kicks us out. Remember, we are coming back by his grace. The journey is what it's all about. So he drove man out, and from to the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim, an angel, and a flaming sword which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. He's serious. It is a beautiful picture of the might and power of God saying to us, it ain't gonna happen. Try all you might. This is not heaven. It will not be heaven. Get it out of your head. Don't try to make it heaven. See it for what it is. this is not paradise. Don't even try. And we delude ourselves all the time, and we find ourselves getting disappointed because we try to make it heaven, and things prove to us it's not, and then we go through this disappointment cycle. We'll just stop right now, because there's a giant angel with a giant flaming sword that is making sure it ain't going to happen. You are here to learn what you're going to learn, and he's enforcing it. You can't go home again. He has to bring you back. You can't go back. He drove us out kicking and screaming into a hostile world with only each other and our cursed relationship. Without access to our Creator, the wages of sin, the aftertaste of our will and sin, the fruit only tastes good while it's in your mouth. When you swallow it, it destroys you. Taken out by force and stopped from returning by force, we now know what we've lost. The way back to eternal life did not appear until the child of the woman bruised, who would bruise the head of the serpent, appears. And that, in this moment, he has it in his mind. It's coming. And the call of Abraham and the Jews was to bring us to that, to bring the law, to show us that we needed it. Jesus Christ only makes sense because we have the law. If we don't have the law, then why do I need him? The law tells me I need him. The law is a mechanism. It gets you where you need to be. It shows you that this life is a mechanism to get God, for God to get what he wants. The law, and remember, all law is symbolic in this one law. When law gets complicated, when we start talking about, you know, the stuff we were talking about, and you're going, well, what do we do with this? Narrow it back down. Come back to Genesis when there's only one. It was very, don't eat that fruit. All law, because I said so. And there is such a depth in because I said so. It is not frivolous. It's not flippant. It's the purpose. That should be enough. And life will teach you that. You know, all sin is that sin. Hebrews 1:7 says this. And the angel, I try to get my mind this flaming sword and this mighty angel standing there over guard. And I see him standing there unmoved for all the time until Jesus Christ rises from the grave. And it's just unflinching. Just doing his job. Doing what, you know, stoically doing his job, what he was called to do with fervor. And Jesus comes out of the tomb. The temple veil splits and that sword is put away and said, okay, the tree of life is here. But it's a neat analogy of this. And of the angels, he says, who makes angels wind and his ministers a flame of fire? Because we lose sight of this stuff. And we, being Protestant, we are very reserved. We stay away from the hyper-spiritual or the mystical or the... Let your mind go sometimes. Go into the mystery of God. Look into Colossians. Look into Revelations. Read them. Just to see, whoa, I know I don't get it, but I know it's fantastic. And there's a mystery here. Numbers 22:23. When the donkey, this is Balaam, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing away with his drawn sword on his hand, the donkey turned off from the way and went into the field. But Balaam struck the donkey and turned back into the way. This beautiful thing where, what's there that you don't know? The donkey, creation knew the angel was there. And Balaam beats him and God makes the irony of God. He has the donkey speak and say, why are you beating me? And he goes, he says, because you're embarrassing me. Dude, don't you see the angel in the middle of the road? I'm saving your life and you're beating me for it. But don't you, can't you see the, no. And yeah, what's going on around us is spectacular. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father yet through me. This is how we get back to that tree. Jesus is saying plainly, there is no other way. You can't do it. You know, Adam and Eve tried. They tried.
It's the only way.
No, he's making it clear. You can't work your way there. There's nothing you can do. You have no righteousness. You can't save yourself. You can't change yourself. I'm it. If you don't like this option, you don't have another. Hebrews 10, I'll finish with this, 18 to 22. The way back to the tree is wide open. Now, where there is forgiveness for these things, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Christ, the Holy of Holies, the curtain that was torn, it's open now. We have confidence to walk in there. Oh, what a beautiful thing. By a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, from the inside out. Holiness came out to us. We didn't become holy and go into it. Through the veil, from the Holy of Holies out to us. What a beautiful picture. That is his flesh. And since we have such a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. What a beautiful, beautiful way thing to look at. This fall, this cast out leads here. Don't lose the connection. It's not gloom and despair, and I'm sure it was for him, but this is what's coming. This has to happen for this to happen. And what a beautiful account in Hebrews. You know, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. To what? The Holy of Holies. To the holy place. Because the holiness came through to us. Let us draw with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. It says we have one. You know, it's not saying you don't have one. It's saying you have one. But he dealt with it. Why do you have an evil conscience? Because you did evil. Because you are evil. I sprinkled it clean. You didn't. You didn't fix your conscience. I did it. Satan's still telling you that you look what you did. I'm telling you, forget what you did, because I forgot what you did. Learn from it. That's all I'm asking. And our bodies washed with pure water. Amen. Well, what a beautiful, beautiful scripture. We'll pick up on 4 next week, and let's pray. Lord, we come before you thankful for your word and just thankful for your presence. And I ask that your word, as always, find a home deep in our hearts and just anchor there and not be moved by anything. And when that happens, we change into the image of your son. And we could actually be the light on the hill, the salt in the world, and part of the solution to the problem that is us. Watch over my brothers and sisters. Make them strong, wise, brave, and compassionate. Help them to glorify your name in what they think, what they do, and what they say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.